Beautiful prayer from a great saint in our church. This is a spiritual giant you've never heard of. And this prayer is from my four-year-old boy, Justin. He says, "Dear God, thank you for the Holy Spirit, for bread, and for mommy. Amen." A man of few words, simple words, beautiful words, like this hymn we just sang together. Most importantly, great depth. Without knowing it, those words have great depth and meaning. So I want to speak to you today about a virtue that's crucial in the spiritual life, and that's the virtue of depth, the virtue of depth. For a minute, let's put all the rules and regulations aside. Being good, being bad, the things we can do, the things we're not allowed to do. Let's put that away for a second. I want to speak to you about depth, spiritual depth. The spiritual person is a deep person, and their relationship with God is a deep one. I'm not talking about intelligence or education level or riches or status. This is someone that can be very intelligent, simple-minded, highly educated, uneducated, rich or poor. The important thing is the depth. I want to hone in on the spiritual depth. So this is someone that rejects superficiality and fakeness in their relationships, in their families, in their friendships, at work, in their daily life. Meaningful encounters in all aspects of life, but most importantly in the spiritual life, in the life with God. Psalm 130 says, "From the depths of my heart I cried out to you, from the depths." During communion we sing a hymn, it says, "From the depths of my heart I sought after you, from the depths." Proverb 23 says, "My son, give me your heart, let your eyes follow my ways," but the important thing is you give me your heart. Your actions will follow, your eyes will follow my ways, but the important thing is the depth, the heart. The things on the outside, they don't matter to God. It's a very recurring theme in the Gospels. Psalm 45 says, "The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold." All of the things on the outside, her clothing is of wrought gold, but the glory is within, the glory is inside, in the depths. And so God always asks us for what's inside. And one of the most common themes that Christ talks about, he says, "First cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish that the outside may be clean." The outer part doesn't matter. The inside is what matters. He says to the Pharisees, "You are like whitewashed tombs, which inside appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones." This is an intense, right? Intense analogy that Christ makes. He compares somebody to a tomb with bones on the inside. And again, he says, "Woe to you, Pharisees, for you pay the tithes. Outwardly, you appear righteous, but inside you're full of hypocrisy." So the depth, again, he's always speaking of the depth. Christ really rejects fakeness, right? He doesn't care for fakeness, especially in the spiritual life. And he pays particular attention to people who do all the things, right? All the rules and regulations. He says, "Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out, that defiles a man." Meaning it's not about what food you eat, kosher at the time. Lent is starting for us, so like, this always applies to us. The rules. What comes out of your mouth is from the depths, from the heart. And that's what Christ is concerned about. One more. In Revelation chapter 3, he says, "I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were hot or cold. I wish you were hot or cold. So because you are warm, I will vomit you out of my mouth." It's pretty intense. Because even the cold, people who are cold, they know they're cold. They know they're far away. But the lukewarm are the people in the middle, who they do all the stuff, they do all the things, but they lack the fire, they lack the hotness. And most importantly, is no depth.
Test,
so the things on the outside are as follows. It's the ego, it's pride, it's vanity, maybe self-righteousness, which is the worst of all that Christ really talks about often. Everyone sees the stuff on the outside, but the depth, that's the innermost thing that only God sees and only God knows. And that's why they're precious and valuable to Him. No one sees them but God. We read a book during book club this past month, and the author makes this analogy of people's interactions being like a church. So you have the outside of the church, or maybe the coffee room where you interact with people and you put on a face. Then you have this middle zone here. This is where you interact with your family and friends. And then you have the altar. And the outer area is where is most sort of the most curated version of yourself. You know, like you wear a nice suit, put on a show, take a picture for your website, for your LinkedIn page, for your social media page, take that family picture with a smile, and put on a good face. And then you move to this prayer area, and this is where you interact with your friends and family, and you let down the guard a little bit. But still, your masks are on. We're wearing masks. And in the third part is the sanctuary in the church, inside the altar. And this is the place we call intimacy. And in the spiritual life, this is where we encounter God. This is the place God cares about. He doesn't care about this stuff on the outside. He wants you to go in the altar with Him. This is the place of quiet. This is time you sit by yourself, searching your soul, searching for God. I sought after you from the depths of my heart. The things on the outside are not always with us, if you think about what they are. Beauty, personality, charisma, what the kids call swagger, personal attire, masks. But the inside are the things that only you keep and only you know. And this is actually who you are. When you strip all the stuff away and you stand in front of God naked, when you take the house down to the studs. In psychology, if you've ever been to a psychologist, the patient and client is asked to take themselves to their childhood. They say, close your eyes and think of a time when you were a child. Go there. If you live to 100, this is the same person. This is the inner child. And so God wants to encounter the inner child. God wants to encounter you in your depths. I sought after you from the depths of my heart. He wants this encounter even more so than the gifts, the stuff that we do. Donations, the outward display, the time, even here in the church in this talk. Your heart is what He wants. So practically, this is really about the lifelong search. The lifelong search. In the beginning of the Ekbeya and the Glory, at the end of the first hour, we say, I continually pursue your ways. Early I stand before you, and my voice you will hear, and you shall see me. You hear my voice and you see me, when I seek after you from the depths of my heart. Pope Shenouda says a beautiful thing in Arabic. He says, "Ishghil nafsak bil Rabb." Busy yourself. Busy yourself with God. We're all very busy. We're all so busy. But do we busy ourselves in readings, in sermons, in hymns, in prayer, in quiet time? I sought after you from the depths of my heart, from the depths. The depths of my time, the depth of my thought, the depth of my energy. Energy and time are a precious resource. And what we do with the little we have reveals the depth. Reveals the depth of our spiritual life. Believe me, a spiritual person has a hard time doing anything that lacks depth. A song with meaningless lyrics, consuming or watching useless content, spending a lot of time on social, talking about mindless things, just spending time in dialogue that's useless dialogue. I'm not talking about fun, by the way. Fun is a deeply spiritual act. If you think about joy, the time with your kids laughing and playing, the time with friends and family, this is a deeply spiritual act. This is the kingdom of heaven on earth. I'm referring to things that lack depth and meaning in our lives. You see, the deep acts in life are those which have the most value. These are the moments in our lives when we experience something or when we make a deep and meaningful act. There's a beautiful moment in the gospel when Christ encounters Peter and Andrew the first time when they're fishing. And he says to them, launch out into the deep and drop your nets. Go out in the deep. Throw your nets in the deep water. You guys have seen The Chosen where they have the nets on the side of the shore right there. I don't like that depiction. He says, go launch into the deep and cast your nets for a catch. An act of deep faith. One moment of depth can define your entire life. Listen to David, the shepherd boy. He's a teenager at the time. When no one has the courage to encounter Goliath, listen to what he says. He says, you come to me with sword and spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Deep acts. Can you imagine this kid, this young boy, maybe Isaac's age, in front of a giant soldier with a sword, like a small kid defending another kid against the bully? Deep acts of faith. How many deep acts are there in my life? I have an employee. She's now adopted 5 children. She has no money. Deep acts of faith. There's the routine stuff every day, right? I go to the gym. I go to work. Put a lot of energy and emphasis into work and the gym and my body and my clothes. I come here to church. I write a check at the end of the year. They say we need a new roof. We need some money for the orphans. Okay, here's some money. Maybe pat myself on the back. Then there's the deep stuff. And I don't think they all need to be monumental, sort of David and Goliath moments or world-changing. Most often these deep acts are secrets between you and God. They're secrets. Maybe a handful of other people know about it, but they're secrets from the depth. And remember that Christ was very specific about doing things in secret. He says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, the inner, the depth, the secret. The virtue of spiritual depth is one of secrecy, to do things from the heart and not for show, to do the meaningful stuff, not the fake or superficial. From the depths of my heart, I sought after you. And it's not a matter of volume. We talk about volume often. It's a measure of depth. God doesn't measure the way we think in days or years. He doesn't count like a bank teller at Bank of America how many dollars you gave. He measures in the depth, in the depth. And it's not how many psalms you read in the morning. If you read Psalm 50, in the morning, just that psalm, and I challenge you to do that and understand it. It has all the depth and power your soul needs. And it makes you want to read the other ones. You spend some time on one psalm like that. It makes you want to read all the others with understanding, with depth. The two mites of the widow. Christ was very insistent on that. The two mites of the widow, worth more than hundreds of millions of dollars from a rich person. And I hear this conversation often. I hear people say, you know, if I hit the lotto, if I was rich, you know how much good I would do? I would do so much good. You know, if I had more time to give people, problem is the kids and I have work. And the deep spiritual act is when you don't have and you give. That's the lesson of the two mites of the widow. You give what you have out of faith and love and from the depths. in secrecy, a deep act of faith. Have you ever seen beggars and homeless people, displaced people sharing with each other? It's pretty amazing. You can find some of this right now, especially while the world is torn apart with war-torn parts of the world. People helping each other in despair. These are acts of great depth. And if we talk about time here in the church, what time did your church get on a Good Friday? What time? How long did you guys pray? How long was it? We have to think more about depth. I'll give you an example. St. John the Baptist, I didn't know him. I didn't know this about him. And the more I read about this great saint, he only served about 6 months. Do you know that? 6 months. What service did he give in 6 months? And Christ says of him, he says, no greater man has been born. Imagine Jesus Christ says that about you. No greater man. What did he do in 6 months? Deep acts of faith. Philip, all we know is he met this Ethiopian man, converted him on the road, baptized him in a day. What words did he say to him? What did he do to move him? In the history of our church, we have servants who serve hundreds and thousands of souls. And then we have this one solitary who serves one soul, himself or herself. And we find this person to possess a depth that is more powerful than anyone who served hundreds or thousands. And this person draws people in from all over the world because of deep acts. From the depths of my heart, I sought after you. And there are those who give hundreds of sermons, and it's reread and reread. And then one sermon has all the depth of 1,000 others. St. Peter gave a sermon, converted 3,000 souls in one talk. One sermon with depth. These are the acts of depth and meaning. 6 months from John the Baptist, one encounter with Philip, one sermon from Peter, is greater than a lifetime of service from another. The important part is the depth. We need to think about the depth. The good news is for us, especially for me, for people who've never served or spoken a word, it's not too late. Time is not the currency. The depth is how we're measured. The depth. And on the other hand is the brother in the parable of the prodigal son who said to his father, for years I served you. I served you so many years. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. This is when his brother came home after going astray. And he says, for years I've been doing all the things here. I do all the stuff I'm supposed to do for years. And I believe the father would say to him, for years you've been serving me with no depth, no understanding. You don't understand forgiveness or repentance or love. You wasted those years. And so God doesn't look at time the way we would think of like tenure at a job. He looks to the depth. And he doesn't care for big words or big gestures either. Peter once said some big words to Christ. He says, if everyone leaves you, I'll never leave you. If I need to die with you, I'll die with you. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he pulled out the sword and cut the servant's ear. And he said, put your sword away in its sheath. I want the depths of your heart, Peter. Peter, do you love me? He said that 3 times. He said, Peter, do you love me? 3 times, he said to him. I think of these scenes with Peter as sort of the outward Christian. You know, the outward Christian, especially here in our culture, the people who hold up the signs and say, Jesus hates when you do this. I'm a Christian. And Christ says the same thing. He says, put your sword in its sheath. This has no meaning. This has no depth. I'm looking for the depth. Peter, do you love me? And he asks us the same question. So we have to look at ourselves and ask a hard question. Do I possess the depth that God is looking for? My prayers, for example. I come here early. I stand up the whole time. I take communion. I drag my kids here. I put them in their Sunday best clothing. In the parable of the tax collector, Christ says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He said, God, I thank you I'm not like the other men, extortioners, adulterers, unjust, even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give 10% of all that I have. And the tax collector says this. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. See, these few words, these deep words, honest words, is what God wants. Words from the depth of the heart. I sought after you from the depths of my heart. And Christ says that the tax collector left justified by his prayer, and the Pharisee was not accepted. How much of our dialogue is like this, Pharisee? Speaking about other people, the bad people who do bad things. And how much of our prayer is spent like the tax collector, focusing on himself, his own problems, and asking for mercy and grace? Where's the depth in my words? St. Paul says, I'd rather speak 5 words with understanding and teach others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Coptic, Arabic, English, does it matter? 5 words of depth, better than 1,000 words with no meaning. The thief on the right said how many words to Christ? He said, remember me in your kingdom. 1 sentence of depth. Realness. God wants the inner person, your heart. I sought after you from the depths of my heart. And there are people who talk and talk and say nothing. Then another person says one thing and it sticks to you. You go to bed and the person's words are in your head. You wake up, it's ringing in your ears. Something with depth. You're affected. That's it. You can't forget it. How can we speak this way to each other? How do we do this in our daily lives with our friends, with our spouses, with our kids? How can we talk with depth? You know, culturally, we, as a culture, I would say, we make fun of each other a lot. It's fun sometimes. We jest and we joke. But we make fun of each other. Spouses making fun of each other in front of people. Siblings making fun of each other. How do we speak in a way that's deep and loving to each other? Time is a precious thing, guys. Time is so precious. We don't know how much time we have. What do we do with our words in the meantime? There are spiritual masters whose visitors travel by air, land, and sea. And the visitor arrives, and they say to the spiritual master, give us a word, give us a word. They don't say, give me a lecture, like I've done here today to you guys. They ask for a word. They just want a line or two of deep meaning. Maybe those few words change somebody's life forever. One verse changed St. Anthony's life. He became the father of monastic life. One verse with deep meaning and deep in his response. And for this reason, the words of the Desert Fathers were few, but they had depth. A sentence or two. Pope Shenouda had these little pamphlets. They're beautiful. There's little pamphlets. And someone can look at that little pamphlet and say, you know what, I need a book. I need something leather-bound, dogma. I need to dive into the depth of understanding. And someone can read an article and find a page or a little phrase and cut it out, keep it in their pocket. Deep words. A sentence that you memorize. A poem, a lyric from Bob Marley or Bono. A phrase from Gandhi, a sentence from one of the giants of the church or your local priest, or even the words of your son or daughter. Out of the mouth of babes you have perfected praise. Words of depth. How do we speak with depth? Christ says, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The mouth is moving, and the heart is far. No depth. Do we follow the rules and regs and end there? But even worse, after we've done all the things we're supposed to do, do we say like the Pharisee, look at me? And does Christ say, they honor me with their lips, with their actions, with their traditions? But the heart is far from me. And as we approach Lent, some of us will fast 55 days, 40 days. No meat, no dairy, no fish, no whey. Check the label, make sure there's no whey in the label. And then on Easter Sunday, we consume an entire goat from head to toe. Right? The day before, we had organic avocado toast with sprouts and pickled daikon radish. And on Easter, a small herd of cattle was consumed. And there are people who fast not just with food. They fast from the depths of their heart with prayers and vigil, meditation. Instead of binge-watching the next show on Netflix, they pick up a book and listen to a sermon or meditate on God's words. They blow off the work or the next venture that comes their way for some quiet time. From the depths of the heart they search, from the depths. I sought after you from the depths of my heart. And to be clear, this talk is for me. This talk is for me. We need to consider the depth in all aspects of life, seeking from the depths of our heart, busying ourselves in the depths, casting our nets in the depth. I'm going to end now with a quote from Pope Shenouda, who I owe a lot of this talk and a lot of my life to, actually, his sermons. And he says, "Believe me, if we speak of depth, the entire spiritual life is realized with all of its virtues. If we speak of depth, the entire spiritual life is realized with all of the virtues." And glory be to God forever. Amen.